We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Joining us right now, talk a little baseball with Mark Feinsand. Mark, Joe Beningall, I think Evan's having a little technical difficulty. He'll be in with us in a second. How you doing?
I'm good, Joe. How you doing?
I'm good. A little down, though, with what's going on here now. Boy, here we are just a weekend into this, and already we got this issue with the Marlins. Obviously, it's affected the Yankees, the Phillies. Are we going to get through this season in your mind? What do you think?
I wish I had the answer to that. I certainly hope so. It'll be interesting to see. Obviously, we know what's happened with the Marlins. We haven't had another team impacted to that extent. And to me, if you can, keep the spread limited to a player here, a player there, that I think they'll get through the season. If you have another team or two or three that have outbreaks the way the Marlins have, then things are going to get tricky because, you take the Marlins out of play for this week, as MLB just announced that that was going to be the case. It doesn't just affect the Marlins, it affects the teams they're playing. And, as it was, they were planning on having 60 games in 66 days. So it's not like you've got a ton of off days to try to make up a whole lot of games. So you could see a situation where not every team plays 60 games and they decide playoff teams based on winning percentages. They did that back in 1981 with the strike season. They're sort of going to be, it seems, having to adjust on the fly with some of this stuff based on, what happens.
How aggressive will they be to get as close to 60 as possible in terms of doubleheaders, in terms of using those common off days? And I don't even know how many there are, but how aggressive do you think they'll be to try to get to as close to 60 as they can?
Oh, I would imagine they'd be pretty aggressive in trying to get that done. The one thing about teams playing just within their region, East versus East, is that you don't have to worry about the Marlins having to make up three games against, the Dodgers, where one team would have to fly across the country. So that will certainly help. Obviously, divisional games that are postponed for anything, COVID-related, you figure those teams are going to play each other, four different times. So they should be able to find, days to make up doubleheaders and try to get some of those games in. They're going to have to get creative. They're going to have to be aggressive if they want to try to get 60 per team, especially a team like the Marlins, who's now going to miss an entire week of games. But I think they're going to do everything they can to try to get that done.
I think baseball, we've talked about it, Evan and I have talked about it. MLB is going to have a high tolerance here because they're going to try to get this season in and more power to them and all of that. But how many, we've already had a major outbreak on one team. How many teams do you think, Mark, we'd have to have a major outbreak on for them to say, boy, you know what, we just can't do it?
I don't have the answer to that. I think Rob Manfred was asked that question on MLB Network last night, and, he said obviously if it gets to the point where you have a number of teams that are facing that, that's something they're going to have to deal with. I would think three or four teams would probably certainly be enough to make that a reality where they really have to look into I don't know about shutting down the season or putting it on hiatus and trying to figure it out from there. The league and the Players Association have done everything they can to try to put measures in place to allow this season to happen. It's going to require a commitment and a buy-in by all the players too, to not do anything that they're not supposed to be doing and to really take the protocol seriously, and I'm not accusing anybody on the Marlins or anybody else of not taking it seriously. We don't know how they contracted, the infection and the virus. So, but if it comes out that, six guys went out to dinner, that's not going to be a good thing. It could have been in a hotel, which is obviously beyond their control. I think MLB is in the midst of trying to, do some contact tracing to try to figure out the root of it. But yeah, I think if you end up with three or four teams that are hit the way the Marlins have been hit, that's going to be a problem.
We're talking to Mark Feinstein about baseball. A bubble was never realistic for baseball.
Never.
The players weren't going to go. Nobody was going to go for it. But I have been thinking, especially with the success that the NBA and the NHL has had, about maybe a playoff bubble. I mean, once we determine, and maybe not in the first round because I know we've got 16 playoff teams, but maybe once the divisional series starts, instead of having potentially a team fly from New York to LA and back, putting teams in a centralized location, it's more realistic. It's a much shorter period of time. That seems like it can be pulled off. And because there are no fans in the stands, who the heck cares where it's going to be played? I mean, I've always been anti-neutral site, but, you know, if we're not there as fans, it doesn't matter. Is that something that would even be considered, or are they still gung-ho on, hey, look, come October, L.A. may be flying to New York and vice versa?
Well, there was talk when they were starting their restart plan about the idea of having neutral sites. And, you know, ironically, when they were talking about it, it was New York was the thing that he kept coming up to, was if you can't play games in New York, could games be moved to neutral site? You know, if the playoffs got pushed in November and the Twins were in it and it was, you know, 18 degrees and snowing in Minneapolis, could games be moved to neutral sites? And it seemed like there was an openness to moving things to neutral sites. It's interesting. That's the first time I've heard that suggestion of a playoff bubble, and I think that could be something that could potentially work. I don't know if it's something they've looked into, because, you know, the one thing, like you said, the bubble for the MLB season was never going to be a possibility.
No, it couldn't happen.
It's number one, even at 60 games, it's too long of a time to keep players in a bubble. You're not going to keep players in a bubble for, you know, two-plus months plus the postseason. And really, that bubble doesn't exist. The location, I mean, they were talking about Arizona as that first plan. Well, Arizona is one of the hottest spots in the country right now for the virus, and it's also 115 degrees outside. So you couldn't play day games, and there are a number of stadiums there, all the spring training stadiums, but only the Diamondbacks facility, their big league facility in Chase Field, the only one that has a roof. So that wasn't going to be realistic. The NBA and NHL are entering playoff time, right? The NBA is going to have eight games and then the playoffs. So, you know, within 6 weeks, they're only going to be down to, you know, eight teams, four teams, and the number of people in that bubble are going to be much smaller. I don't think the NBA or NHL would have looked at a bubble for a full regular season either, because it's just not realistic to try to do that for that length of time.
Talking to Mark Feinstein. All right, the Mets have played. Let's talk about some of the stuff on the field. The Mets have played four games. They're 2-2. The manager, I know it's only four games, and I don't want to, you know, go one way or the other here, though, too crazy. But he has showed signs here, Mark, that we may have something here with this Luis Rojas as a manager. What's your thoughts through four games with Rojas with the Mets?
Yeah, I mean, look, if Diaz saves that game, they're 3-1, and everybody's feeling pretty good about where they are right now. So, you know, all the feedback I've gotten on Rojas from people around the Mets, from people who have just been in the game, is that everybody thinks he's going to be a really good manager. Obviously, he's got the bloodlines for it. And, you know, so far, so good. I don't think he's done anything where, I can't say I've listened to the open of every one of your shows, but I can't imagine that he did much where you came on railing. You were probably too busy talking about Jamal Adams anyway. but I think, you know, I think he's certainly off to a good start, not only these four games, but just how he handled spring training and
right,
the shutdown and everything else. I think he's certainly showing himself to be, you know, legitimate managerial material.
The fact that he's not hit Robbie Cano third tells me a lot about
batting him seventh. Batting him seventh.
No, I'm serious. I mean, I yeah, right. He had him bat seventh.
I
last
think
time.
I read it was the first time Cano hit seventh
since rookie year.
Six,
his rookie year, right? 2009 was his rookie year. Was that his rookie year?
2005.
Oh, okay. 2009. Okay, right. Right.
Yeah. I think that says a lot. I really do, because I think when a guy makes that much money, has the resume that he has, and you're a rookie manager, it can't
right.
be
yep.
easy
yep.
to say you're batting seventh. So I give him credit for that. So I was surprised by this. Mike Foltynewicz gets absolutely bombed last night. Fine. Okay. Well, whatever, it happens. It's early in the season. Mike Foltynewicz started game five of the NLDS for the Braves last year. Right, so his last start before this one was game five of the NLDS, and he gets DFA'd. So is there anything coming out, Mark, on more to this story besides they don't like his stuff? Because it seems kind of fishy, especially in a year like this, to get rid of a guy as quickly as the Braves are getting rid of Foltynewicz.
I was shocked when it happened last night. You know, it was one of those things where you sort of do a double take and make sure you read it correctly, because, you know, one bad start in your first start of the year doesn't usually result in a DFA. But, you know, he did have a lot of struggles last year. Certainly the first half was awful for him. The ERA was well over six. Pitched better in September, as you said, pitched in the playoffs for them. But the velocity's been down, and I just think the Braves just didn't, you know, just didn't necessarily like what they had seen. I asked one team executive, not a Braves executive, a rival one, last night about it when it happened. I said, "Are you surprised?" And they said, "Look, they're going for it. They're not taking any, you know, they're not feeling bad for anybody. They're not going to give anybody benefit of the doubt." I'm assuming he was out of options, so they couldn't send him down, and they're serious about contending this year, and they didn't want to waste a spot on somebody who they've lost faith in. So I think this says more about where the Braves are mentally in terms of their wanting to get back to the postseason and make some noise this year than it does about Foltynewicz. Now, look, someone's going to pick him up, whether the Braves trade him or if they end up releasing him, he'll end up signing somewhere, and it'll be a bit of a reclamation project. And, you know, he's 28. He's going to be 29 in October. So this is not a guy who's a lost cause. He will resurface somewhere, and it wouldn't surprise me if he, you know, changes scenery and a new pitching coach and whatever, ends up, you know, helping him get back to, you know, where he's been in the past.
What about Verlander? What do you think? I mean, he's out for, what, 2 weeks? They shut him down for a couple of weeks. Are you concerned he may be done for the year here, Mark?
I mean, with 37, when a guy has an injury, and the season's only 60 games long, you certainly have to be concerned about it, even if he's back. Let's say 2 weeks from now they clear him to start throwing, and he throws and does his, you know, half mound and his whatever else. You know, it wouldn't be it'd be hard to see him coming back before a month from now, and then you're talking about half the season being gone. So that's in the best case scenario. Do I think he'll be back? I mean, I don't bet against Justin Verlander. He's a pretty determined guy, pretty tough guy. He's been pretty durable throughout his career. Would it surprise me to see him before the end of the season? No, but I don't think there's a situation where he's going to be back much more, you know, before the end of August at the earliest.
Talking to Mark Feinsand. So the Yankees win 2 out of 3. Eventually, they're going to play another baseball game. It looks like it'll be tomorrow night against the Orioles. But what was interesting over the weekend, not on the field, was Clint Frazier being optioned. They have 30-man rosters right now. I know they did it to kind of add an extra arm after James Paxton, you know, couldn't get through the second inning. But here's Clint Frazier. He's 25 years old. He's going to be 26 in September. Where is his future? Because I know we've said this over and over again. It seems like forever. But it really doesn't feel like his future is here. I know it's nice to have an insurance policy, but eventually he's going to run out of options. Eventually, you'd have to think he's going to end up somewhere else when he can't even remain on the roster right now, Mark.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if he wound up somewhere else. That said, Brett Gardner's 36, and we don't know how many more years he has left in New York. So if you told me right now that next year opening day, Clint Frazier was the Yankee starting left fielder, that wouldn't surprise me either. That said, he's obviously proven he can hit at the big league level. His attitude issues that were there early in his career seem to be gone. Everybody seems to be on the Clint Frazier bandwagon. He could end up as a big trade chip for them at some point. Remember, this is a team that going into this next offseason, Tanaka's a free agent, Paxton's a free agent, Hap's a free agent. So your rotation all of a sudden looks like Garrett Cole and no one knows. You know, maybe so. Severino will be back, I guess. But beyond those two, you're looking at a lot of the young kids. You know, Debbie Garcia, maybe, or Loaizaga, or who knows who. But maybe Frazier ends up as part of a trade package for a pitcher in the offseason. You know, the problem he's got right now, Aaron Judge isn't going anywhere. Aaron Hicks isn't going anywhere. So left field is really the only spot. You've got Stanton, who's pretty much turned into a full-time DH at this point. So unless Gardner were to leave, and even if Gardner leaves, what about Talkman? What about Miguel Andujar, who everybody loves his bat? He's got to play somewhere. And as long as Gio Urshela continues to play the way he's played, he's not going anywhere. So the Yankees have a really good problem of having a lot of depth. And it's not that doesn't soothe Clint Frazier's mind as he goes back to the alternate training site in Scranton. But, you know, it's a good problem for the Yankees to have, if nothing else.
Yeah, you always get the feeling that they just don't want to play Frazier, but they just don't want to get rid of Frazier. You know, I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, because to me, you know, I don't see how this guy. I mean, he's a terrific hitter. I mean, let's be honest about it. Evan said how young he is. I know defensively he's had his issues, and you know, there's been issues, obviously, as you said, with attitude type issues. But I mean, you just get that feeling. They just kind of want to keep this guy in limbo. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, when he got sent down last year, I think the attitude was a big part of it, and he was clearly not happy to go back to AAA, and they didn't need him. They had plenty of depth up there, even with some injuries. You know, Talkman was playing really well, as you mentioned. Now, you know, Brian Cashman doesn't look at things just at a current level. He looks ahead to 2021. He looks ahead to 2022. He knows Brett Gardner's not going to be there forever. So he's not trading Clint Frazier, maybe in his mind, Clint Frazier's the guy who steps in and takes over that position. But again, Brian also has a history of, you know, if somebody comes to him with a trade that he thinks is going to help his team, if Clint Frazier's part of that trade, I don't think he would hesitate to make a move either. I think a lot of us thought Frazier was going to get traded this past offseason, but the value was low. Now, you know, he'll be back here at some point. This was a move they made. They had to get some pitching in. You know there's going to be an injury or two, because there always is. And then you've got the COVID situation, right, which could always throw a wrench into things. You haven't seen the last of Clint Frazier in New York this year. You know, and like I said, very possible he's, you know, sort of their thought process of who ultimately replaces Gardner.
I'll tell you one story I didn't expect when I woke up this morning is the news that Patrick Mahomes is now a part owner of the Kansas City Royals. I didn't see that one coming. What are your thoughts on Mahomes?
I didn't see that one coming either. It's a good PR move by the Royals, if nothing else.
Sure.
They didn't announce what percentage of the team he owns. I'm guessing it's a fairly small number. But, you know, that's nice. They can bring him out to throw out some first pitches and put them in the owner's box and get them on TV. And, you know, certainly there's probably no better brand ambassador in Kansas City right now than Patrick Mahomes. And so having him, you know, walk around wearing a Royals shirt or a Royals hat will only help the ball club as they're going through this bit of a rebuilding phase right now.
Well, I mean, look what's going to happen when A-Rod buys the Mets, and you're going to have all the, you know, Bradley Beal and Travis Kelce and all these different guys that are going to be owning the Mets, just like now. I guess Patrick Mahomes can't be part of that now, but we could see that right here in New York, Mark.
Hey, maybe that's the new trend, NFL players buying into MLB teams. I like it.
Oh, boy. Mark, great talking to you, man. Thanks for coming on.
All right, fellas, take care.
See you, Mark.
Mark Feinsand on baseball. Yeah, Patrick Mahomes is now a part owner of the Kansas City Royals.
Hey.
Even though he's a Met fan, Patrick Mahomes. I don't know if you know that.
Whatever. that's what I've heard. Whatever.
Yeah. I don't actually know if he's a Met fan. I do know that he once showed up to one of his games.
At the clubhouse as a kid?
Well, no, to a football game, I think last year, wearing his dad's jersey as a Met, Pat Mahomes.
Oh, did he?
By association, he's a Met fan.
I understand.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.